Hello there, and welcome to a new week of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 320. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb. I'm your host, and I'm glad you're here. Every Monday through Friday, I bring you two or three chapters of the Bible and a short devotional or commentary in about 10 minutes. We're reading through the Bible on three tracks. Track one is reading through the Old Testament. Track two is reading through the New Testament. And the third is reading through the books of poetry and wisdom. Each day alternates to one of those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Today we're on track one, which brings us to the opening chapters of 2 Samuel. We'll read chapters 1 and 2 from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Yes, that is the translation we used last week. We'll switch to another translation for tomorrow's show. Truth is, I recorded a few chapters ahead last week, and I lost track of when I was supposed to change translations. As we closed out the book of 1 Samuel, we saw the death of Saul and his sons. We pick up right there as we begin 2 Samuel. David is anointed as king in chapter 2, and the rest of the book tells about David's 40-year reign. For the new listeners, King David is the same person who, as a young person, killed the giant Goliath with a sling. By the way, the dog days of podcasting begins tomorrow. As I mentioned last Friday, this is a 30-day challenge that 22 podcasters are participating in. Just in case any of them are listening in on today's show, I want to say an especially hearty welcome. I hope you like what you hear here on the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, and I'm looking forward to listening to your shows as well. For my regular listeners, if you'd like to check out the participating shows, just go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. All the shows are listed right there. And by the way, if you hear anything in the background, it's because I'm babysitting my granddoggy. My son Stephen and his wife took a little trip this last weekend. And right now I've got Lucy, a 2-year-old Great Dane, sitting here in the studio with me. And every once in a while she shakes her head and you can hear her dog tags. So if you hear some dog tags in the background, that's what's going on. Anyway, are you ready to start? Let's begin. 2 Samuel chapter 1. After the death of Saul, David returned from defeating the Amalekites and stayed at Ziklag 2 days. On the third day, a man with torn clothes and dust on his head came from Saul's camp. When he came to David, he fell to the ground and paid homage. David asked him, "Where have you come from?" He replied to him, "I've escaped from the Israelite camp." "What was the outcome? Tell me," David asked him. "The troops fled from the battle," he answered. "Many of the troops have fallen and are dead. Also, Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." David asked the young man who had brought him the report, "How do you know Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa," he replied, "and there was Saul leaning on his spear. At that very moment, the chariots and the cavalry were closing in on him. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me, so I answered, 'I'm at your service.' He asked me, 'Who are you?' I told him, 'I'm an Amalekite.' Then he begged me, 'Stand over me and kill me, for I am mortally wounded, but my life still lingers.' So I stood over him and killed him, because I knew that after he had fallen he couldn't survive. I took the crown that was on his head and the armband that was on his arm, and I've brought them here to my lord." Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and all the men with him did the same. They mourned, wept, and fasted until the evening for those who died by the sword: for Saul, his son Jonathan, the Lord's people, and the house of Israel. David inquired of the young man who had brought him the report, "Where are you from?" "I'm the son of a foreigner," he said. "I'm an Amalekite." David questioned him, "How is it that you were not afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David summoned one of his servants and said, "Come here and kill him." The servant struck him and he died. For David had said to the Amalekite, "Your blood is on your own head, because your own mouth testified against you by saying, 'I killed the Lord's anointed.'" David sang the following lament for Saul and his son Jonathan, and he ordered that the Judahites be taught the Song of the Bow. It is written in the book of Jasher: "The splendor of Israel lies slain on your heights. How the mighty have fallen! Do not tell it in Gath. Don't announce it in the marketplaces of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, and the daughters of the uncircumcised will gloat. Mountains of Gilboa, let no dew or rain be on you, or fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty was defiled. the shield of Saul, no longer anointed with oil. Jonathan's bow never retreated, Saul's sword never returned unstained from the blood of the slain, from the bodies of the mighty. Saul and Jonathan, loved and delightful, they were not parted in life or in death. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxurious things, who decked your garments with gold ornaments. How the mighty have fallen in the thick of battle! Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were such a good friend to me. Your love for me was more wonderful than the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war have perished. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Sometime later, David inquired of the Lord, "Should I go to one of the towns of Judah?" The Lord answered him, "Go." Then David asked, "Where should I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord replied. So David went there with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. In addition, David brought the men who were with him, each one with his household, and they settled in the towns near Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. They told David it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who buried Saul. David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "The Lord bless you, because you have shown this kindness to Saul your Lord when you buried him. Now may the Lord show kindness and faithfulness to you, and I will also show the same goodness to you, because you have done this deed. Therefore, be strong and courageous, for though Saul your Lord is dead, the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." Abner, son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Saul's son Ish-bosheth and moved him to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, Asher, Jezreel, Ephraim, Benjamin, over all Israel. Saul's son Ish-bosheth was 40 years old when he began his reign over Israel. He ruled for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. The length of time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Abner, son of Ner, and soldiers of Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, marched out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. So Joab, son of Zeruiah, and David's soldiers marched out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. The two groups took up positions on opposite sides of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, "Let's have the young men get up and compete in front of us." "Let them get up," Joab replied. So they got up and were counted off, 12 for Benjamin and Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and 12 from David's soldiers. Then each man grabbed his opponent by the head and thrust his sword into his opponent's side, so that they all died together. So this place, which is in Gibeon, is named Field of Blades. The battle that day was extremely fierce, and Abner and the men of Israel were defeated by David's soldiers. The three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Azahel. Azahel was a fast runner, like one of the wild gazelles. He chased Abner and did not turn to the right or the left in his pursuit of him. Abner glanced back and said, "Is that you, Azahel?" "Yes, it is," Azahel replied. Abner said to him, "Turn to your right or left, seize one of the young soldiers, and take whatever you can get from him." But Azahel would not stop chasing him. Once again, Abner warned Azahel, "Stop chasing me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How could I ever look your brother Joab in the face?" But Azahel refused to turn away, so Abner hit him in the stomach with the end of his spear. The spear went through his body, and he fell and died right there. When all who came to the place where Azahel had fallen and died, they stopped. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. By sunset they had gone as far as the hill of Ammah, which is opposite Gaia on the way to the wilderness of Gibeon. The Benjaminites rallied to Abner. They formed a single unit and took their stand on top of a hill. Then Abner called out to Joab, "Must the sword devour forever? Don't you realize this will only end in bitterness? How long before you tell the troops to stop pursuing their brothers?" "As God lives," Joab replied, "if you had not spoken up, the troops wouldn't have stopped pursuing their brothers until morning." Then Joab blew the ram's horn, and all the troops stopped. They no longer pursued Israel or continued to fight. So Abner and his men marched through the Arabah all that night. They crossed the Jordan, marched all morning, and arrived at Mahanaim. When Joab had turned back from pursuing Abner, he gathered all the troops. In addition to Asahel, 19 of David's soldiers were missing, but they had killed 360 of the Benjaminites and Abner's men. Afterward, they carried Asahel to his father's tomb in Bethlehem and buried him. Then Joab and his men marched all night and reached Hebron at dawn. May God bless the reading of His Word. Today I have just a short time for comments if I'm going to stay anywhere near the 10-minute mark, so here are some highlights. The man who brought the report of Saul's death to David made a terrible miscalculation, didn't he? As we read at the end of 1 Samuel, Saul fell on his own sword because he didn't want to fall into the hands of the Amalekites. Now this soldier that came to David must have thought that David would be pleased to meet the one who killed Saul, since it was widely known that Saul had been pursuing David for so long. But remember, David had no desire to harm Saul and considered him to be the Lord's anointed. So when David heard that this man killed Saul, he had him executed right there on the spot. Yeah, he made a miscalculation. Now David's grief over Saul and Jonathan is genuine and deep, as evidenced by the song he wrote and the tearing of his clothes and the mourning, weeping, and fasting that he and his men did. As chapter 2 opens, we see David seeking God's direction. This is something that he certainly did when he was running for his life from Saul, but now that the threat is gone, he doesn't forget his need of God. It is so important to keep God at the center of our life, in good times as well as bad. It's common when we're in a crisis to cry out to God, but how often do we forget God when everything kind of smooths out and everything is going our way? Well, David didn't do that. David asked God where he should go next. God tells David to go to Hebron, which is a priest's city and one of the cities of refuge. And there he is anointed by the Judahite men as king of the tribe of Judah. Now Ish-bosheth, a son of Saul and the nephew of Abner, is made king of the rest of Israel. And this sets up the so-called contest between David's men and Ish-bosheth's men. Really, I should say Abner's men, because Abner is the one that is really orchestrating the house of Saul. Abner wants to keep the throne in the family. He wants Ish-bosheth to be king over Judah as well as the rest of the 12 tribes. Everyone knows that David is God's anointed king, and David has proven that he's willing to wait until God brings it about in his own time. But Abner has his own plans. So he proposes a contest to the general of David's army, Joab. In order to save face, Joab accepts the challenge. Well, things got out of hand, and the contestants end up killing each other. This causes the armies on both sides to engage, and before you know it, a total of 20 of David's men and 360 of Abner's men are dead, including the young nephew of David, Asahel, at the hand of Abner. So Israel is a divided kingdom at this point. There is the tribe of Judah, which is the house of David, and the rest of Israel, which is under the house of Saul. So how do you suppose this is going to play out? Well, we'll find out in the weeks to come. Tomorrow we'll finish the little book of 2 Timothy as we go to track 2, our reading of the New Testament. I'd love to hear your comments. If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 320.lifespringmedia.com, or you can always tweet me at _SteveWeb_#LifespringMedia. Until tomorrow, thanks for being here. May God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.